This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My brothers and sisters in Islam, the world is moving really fast. The year feels like a month, and the month feels like a week, and a week feels like a day, and the day feels like a few hours, subhanallah. And this is from the signs of the hour. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لا تقوم الساعة حتى يتقارب الزمان. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned that the hour will not occur until time draws close, until time shrinks. The scholars, when they explain this, they said it means until time passes really quick. Subhanallah, don't you realize that we begin the week and all of a sudden it is Friday, and we enter a new year and all of a sudden we are at the end of the year, subhanallah. And since the world is passing really quick and time is going very quick, you would assume that everyone across the globe would focus on preparing for the afterlife. That is what the smart and intelligent person would do. Yani that's common sense. See, I mean, let me give you an example. If you invited guests to your house and they contacted you and said, 5 minutes and we will be at your door, what would you do in these 5 minutes? You will make final preparations for your guests and you won't occupy yourself with anything else. So if the afterlife is so close to us, and it is, when you die, the afterlife has begun for you. If the afterlife is so close to us, what should we be doing? We should be preparing for it, right? That's what we're supposed to be doing. Yet, you know what the shocking reality is for the vast majority? Allah Azza wa Jalla, He said, اقترب للناس حسابهم وهم في غفلة معرضون. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He said, the people's accountability, the people's judgment has come very near. اقتربه, it has come very near. And what are they doing? They are immersed in heedlessness. وهم في غفلة. They are immersed in heedlessness. Their heart is distracted. معرضون. And they are turning away. They're not interested. Allahu Akbar. So in this ayah, Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying that the accountability, the afterlife, has come very, very near and close to the people. So by default, common sense would mean prepare for it. Prepare for it. Yet what are people doing? Allah Azza wa Jal describes them with two words. فِي غَفْلَةٍ مُعْرِضُونَ. They are immersed in heedlessness and they have turned away. And this means that the heart is distracted and their body has turned away from the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. They don't observe their salat with their body, and they don't observe the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal with their body. Subhanallah. And what are they distracted with? What are the people distracted with as opposed to preparing for the afterlife? Allah Azza wa Jal in Surah Al-Takathur, He said, أَلْهَاكُمُ التَّكَاثُرُ. He said, the want for more and more of this worldly life has distracted you. The desire to acquire more and more of this dunya, it has distracted mankind from preparing for the afterlife. Allahu Akbar, that is the nature of the human being. He cannot get enough of this worldly life and this dunya. And of course, we don't mean by this that acquiring a dunya and seeking its wealth and seeking some of its luxury is haram. No one says this. But when you are collecting from this world and it distracts you from the remembrance of Allah and from your obligations and your responsibility, then this is what is impermissible. And this is what is distracting. And this is what will destroy mankind. This is how the worldly life and acquiring its wealth is forbidden. This is how, when it distracts from the remembrance of Allah, from your salat and from your obligations and your responsibilities. And brothers and sisters in Islam, today people are competing with one another in worldly matters. People are competing with one another. This is a zina of this worldly life. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, وَتَفَاخُرٌ بَيْنَكُمْ, that this worldly life is a means in how people will boast with one another. وَتَكَاثُرٌ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ, and takathur, wanting more and more of its wealth and children and so on. So if you look at business ventures, there are countless of companies. They produce the same product. Each of them is striving to make theirs the best. And companies, they compare their profits with other companies. Competition. This is the worldly competition. Not only that, but people compete with one another in celebrations and weddings. Who can host the grandest event and secure the most luxurious venue for their wedding and for their events? Wedding cars, who can have the best wedding dress and who can provide the better food for his guests? Subhanallah, even if it means to fall into a huge debt, people are willing to do so to compete with others. Look, there is also competition in social status. Everyone wants to go viral. And people are asking, how do I get more likes? How do I get more followers? How do I have more comments and more shares and more views? This is competition. This is competition between people, even on the social media aspect in the world. Subhanallah. Even among the filthy of society, we find that there is competition. Yani look, for example, there is something known as a red pill movement. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ, contrary to Islamic teachings. But this red pill movement suggests that the one who has slept with more women is better than the one who has slept with less women. They ask each other in gatherings, what is your body count? How many women have you slept with? And there's competition even among the filthy of society. Who has slept with the more women? He's praised, he's seen as something masculine and manly. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Brothers and sisters in Islam, this is the worldly life. There is a lot of competition and chasing of this dunya. There is competition among the women and those who go and do plastic surgeries. Women, among them competition. Who can have the better body? Who can do the better plastic surgery? وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. And chasing. And it's become normal in the community. It becomes normalized. So that if you don't go and do any plastic surgery, you kind of look abnormal. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to save us from this type of chasing of a dunya and this type of competition. My brothers and sisters in Islam, subhanallah, one of the matters that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam feed the most for the ummah is that they begin to compete with one another in worldly related matters. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam feed this for the ummah. In a hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَلَكِنِّي أَخْشَى عَلَيْكُمُ الدُّنْيَا أَن تَنَافَسُوهَا. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I fear for you people this worldly life, that you compete with one another for it. Why is competing and chasing after this dunya condemned? You know why? Because it leads to jealousy. People become jealous of each other. It leads to hatred. People kill one another over this worldly life. It leads to a person being discontent, displeased with the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person may belittle the blessings that Allah Azza wa Jal has given him in this worldly life. Competition and chasing this dunya, it makes a person forget the afterlife and preparation for the afterlife. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, ولكني أخشى أن تبسط عليكم الدنيا كما بسطت على من كان قبلكم فتنافسوها كما تنافسوها فتهلككم كما أهلكتم. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said, I fear that this worldly life would open up for you all. And as a result, you will compete with one another for it. And it will destroy you like it destroyed those before you. You see, chasing this worldly life and competing with one another for this worldly life, it will end up destroying people just like it destroyed those nations before us. So my brothers and sisters in Islam, this world has given its notice and it has announced its departure and it is rushing towards the end of days. And my brothers and sisters in Islam, wallahi, nothing remains of this worldly life except a small portion, which is like the little leftover drink that remains at the bottom of a container, in where the owner tries to gather the final drops that are in the container. That's what is remaining of this worldly life. And indeed, we are all going to be transferred from this worldly life to a place where there is no end, from this life to the afterlife. So the advice is, carry with you the best of deeds. Carry with you righteous deeds. Because the hellfire is a serious matter. And the paradise is a serious matter as well. And the paradise is reserved for those who believed in Allah Azza wa Jal and acted righteously with sincerity and honesty in their relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. And the hellfire has been prepared for those who are heedless, for those who turned away from Allah Azza wa Jal and from the purpose of life and from the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters in Islam, I want to conclude my talk with you with a beautiful hadith that explains to us the nature of the Sahaba and how they would compete with one another. So I spoke to you at the very beginning about competition concerning worldly related matters. There is energy in each and every single one of us to compete with others in worldly related matters. Whether it's competing in the way we dress, or competing in our wealth, or competing with one another concerning our health, whatever the case may be, that energy of competing with others is there, it's in our hearts. But most people use it for the wrong reason, for the wrong cause. Competition with one another is healthy. But if it was related in matters of the afterlife, that is what is pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Azza wa Jal in the Quran, many times, He instructs us to compete with one another in goodness to the paradise. He said, وَفِي ذَلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. When he described something of the paradise, he said, that is what the people should be competing for. He said, فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. Rush to doing good and compete with one another in doing good. And I share with you a beautiful hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that explains this matter. My brothers and sisters in Islam, there was a group of companions, and they were the poor companions. So they are the muhajireen, the ones that came from Mecca to Al-Madinah with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were poor. So one day they went to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they said, Ya Rasulallah, ذهب أهل الدثور بالأجور. They said, O Messenger of Allah, the rich have taken all the reward and went ahead of us. Can you imagine? Poor Sahaba are saying to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the rich companions, the Ansar, have taken away with the reward and they are ahead of us in reward. So, how so? What does that mean? They said, يُصَلُّونَ كَمَا نُصَلِّي وَيَصُومُونَ كَمَا نَصُومُ وَيَتَصَدَّقُونَ بِفُضُولِ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. They said, Ya Rasulullah, these companions, they pray like we pray, and they fast like we fast,
and they give charity from their surplus wealth, from their excess wealth. And then they said, while we have no wealth to give in charity. So they're saying, Ya Rasulullah, the rich, they pray like us, they fast like us, but they have wealth, they can give sadaqah. We don't have wealth. We are unable to give anything in sadaqah. So that means the rich have passed us in reward and goodness. Subhanallah. Look at what these companions are complaining about. They're not here now to say, Ya Rasulullah, teach us. How can we make more money? They want to compete with their rewards. They want to say, Ya Rasulullah, teach us. What kind of deeds can we do in which we can compete with the rich in terms of reward? Allahu Akbar. That is the type of competition that existed among the companions. And that is a beautiful competition to have, brothers and sisters in Islam. Subhanallah. So now the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to teach them something. He said to them, أَوَلَيْسَ قَدْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ مَا تَصَّدَّقُونَ بِهِ. He said to them, hasn't Allah يعني, provided for you other ways in which you can give charity? So they don't know this. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now is going to teach the poor, what are the other ways in which you may do, and that would be considered as though you have given charity. He said to them, إِنَّ بِكُلِّ تَسْبِيحَةٍ صَدَقَةٍ. Every time you declare the glorification of Allah Azza wa Jal by saying Subhanallah, that is a charity. وَكُلَّ تَكْبِيرَةٍ صَدَقَةٍ. And every time you declare the greatness of Allah by saying Allahu Akbar, that is a charity. وَكُلَّ تَحْمِيدَةٍ صَدَقَةٍ. And every time you praise Allah Azza wa Jal, that is considered a charity. Every time you say Alhamdulillah, it's a charity. وَكُلَّ تَهْلِيلَةٍ صَدَقَةٍ. And every time you declare the oneness of Allah by saying La ilaha illallah, then that is a charity. وَأَمْرٌ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ صَدَقَةٍ. And enjoining the good, teaching people something good, that is a sadaqah. وَنَهْيٌ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ صَدَقَةٍ. And condemning the evil, forbidding the evil. You see someone doing haram, you say to him, brother, sister, fear Allah Azza wa Jal, this act is haram. Whether you say this verbally, or you condemn on social media, or you share a post that is condemning a sin, all of this is considered a charity. Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. In this hadith, brothers and sisters in Islam, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught the companions and teaching us all that charity is not limited to just giving money. In fact, charity in other forms may be better than giving wealth, monetary wealth. Charity in other forms could be better than this. Yani, I give you an example, brothers and sisters in Islam. When I teach someone something good, al-amr bil-ma'roof, when I teach someone how to pray, or I teach him how to read Quran, or I teach someone something essential from the religion, and they learn it and they implement it, this was a charity from me to them. Allah rewards me as though I have given a charity. And this charity, wallahi, is a lot better and more rewarding than money you give or food you give to the poor. Because money or food you give to the poor, they will eat it once and it's finished and you took your reward. But knowledge and something good I teach someone, it's remaining with them for the rest of their life. And imagine they teach it to others and others it teaches to others. That charity continues to grant you and earn your reward. Allahu Akbar. So in the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he taught us two forms of charity other than money. Two forms of charity. One, its goodness is limited to you only. And that is, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. When you engage in a dhikr, that's a charity. But that goodness and that reward is only limited to you. And the other type of charity is not limited to you. You benefit and others benefit. And that is أمر بالمعروف ونهي عن المنكر. Enjoining the evil, the good, teaching people good, and also forbidding and condemning and calling out the evil. Subhanallah, how beautiful is this? Beautiful. Then النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, وفي بضع أحدكم صدقة. الله أكبر. This hadith just gets a lot more beautiful. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said, and even in a man's intimate relation with his wife, there is charity. Allahu Akbar. Brothers and sisters in Islam, have you ever heard of this or contemplated and pondered this? In sexual relations, we mean halal sexual relations, a husband and a wife together, practicing sexual relation, that is a form of charity. And a person is rewarded for this act. Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. Yani what we're learning, my brothers and sisters, in this hadith is that the one who fulfills his desire in halal and he enjoys this matter, there is reward. And what that teaches us is that permissible acts, the things that you and I enjoy and are pleased with in this worldly life, can be acts of worship through sincere, honest intentions. Allahu Akbar. How beautiful is this? Yani, sexual relations, it becomes an act of worship. It becomes a charity and a good deed if it's done with the right intentions. If a person did this with the intention of fulfilling the right of his spouse, treating them kindly as Allah Azza wa Jal instructed, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, seeking righteous children, or if you did sexual relations, protecting yourself and your spouse from the sin of looking at the haram or even thinking about al-haram, that's how sexual relations becomes a good deed and a charity and an act of worship. And what we're learning from the hadith is that we can enjoy worldly pleasures. There's no problem in enjoying worldly pleasures, but enjoy only that which is halal. And if you're going to enjoy that which is halal, have a good intention. Have a good intention, because then what you do becomes powerful and you become rewarded for that and it becomes a form of charity. Allahu Akbar. Imagine sexual relations and food and drink and sleep and hanging out with your friends. All of this could be a charity and a good deed for you if you corrected your intention. This is a game changer, my brothers and sisters in Islam. This is how the Muslim is supposed to be and how he behaves on this land that Allah Azza wa Jal has put him on. Then the Sahaba, they said, Ya Rasulullah, أَيَأْتِ أَحَدُنَا شَهْوَتَهُ وَيَكُونُ لَهُ فِيهَا أَجْرٌ. The Sahaba رضي الله عنهم were confused. They were baffled. They said, O Messenger of Allah, how can one fulfill his desire and still earn reward for this? Yani this, yani Sahaba are thinking that what grants you reward are the struggles, the tough things, the hardships, you know, the big type of struggles, like a salat, you go get up and make wudu and pray and fasting and be hungry. And they're thinking these are the things that grant us reward. Lakin al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them a new perspective altogether. He's teaching them, no, don't make things difficult on yourself. Even the things you enjoy and you're pleased with, like sexual relations and everything else that you enjoy, that could also earn you reward and be a form of charity for you, so long as you have the correct intention. MashaAllah. Allahu Akbar. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, أَرَأَيْتُمْ لَوْ وَضَعَهَا فِي حَرَامٍ أَكَانَ عَلَيْهِ وِزْرٌ فَكَذَلِكَ وَلَوْ وَضَعَهَا فِي حَلَالٍ كَانَ لَهُ أَجْرٌ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to the companions, what do you think if such a person was to do zina and practice sexual relations in a forbidden manner? Wouldn't it not be a sin on his part? Wouldn't a person earn a sin? He would earn a sin. So he said to them, similarly, if a person was to practice sexual relations in a halal manner, he should also earn reward. MashaAllah. What a beautiful hadith. And we can see the competitive nature between the companions. And my brothers and sisters in Islam, and I conclude with this matter here. When the wealthy companions heard this guidance, they began to remember Allah Azza wa Jal. So the wealthy people heard that subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, enjoining the good, forbidding the evil, sexual relations, all this is a form of charity and goodness and good deeds. So the rich people started doing these matters. Then the poor people found out. So Allahu Akbar, once again they came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They said, Ya Rasulullah, sami'a ikhwanuna ahl al-amwal bima sana'na fa sana'u mithlahum. They said, Ya Rasulullah, the wealthy people have heard the guidance and they are starting to do what we do. So that means once again they're earning more reward than us because they have money and they can give that as a sadaqah. Look at my brothers and sisters in Islam. Look at the competition. Look at the competition among the Sahaba for the rewards, for the good deeds. That's the competition that we want among ourselves. They said, Ya Rasulullah, these companions have heard what you told us and they're doing that. In other words, Ya Rasulullah, teach us something else that we can do and then equal them in reward and surpass them. Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar, how beautiful is this to have this kind of culture among us. You know, when was the last time you heard of people competing with one another to memorize Quran or to pray their salawat in the masajid or competing with one another in any type of good they want to do? Hardly you ever hear of this anymore. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to strengthen us with iman. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now, he could have taught these poor companions more righteous deeds that are equivalent to charities. He could have taught them. But then what's going to happen? The wealthy are going to know about it and they're going to do it. This back and forth will continue. It will not end. The poor will always be back to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling him, teach us something. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cuts this right here and he says to them, ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. He said to them, that is Allah's favor and he grants it to whoever he wills. Allahu Akbar. How beautiful is this? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam settled the matter. He said to them, ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ. This is the favor of Allah Azza wa Jal. He gives it to whoever he wants. He gave the rich wealth and the ability to give charity. He gave the rich the knowledge of the fact that subhanallah is a charity and a good deed. And he gave them a favor that they practice this. And this is an act of charity for them. That's Allah's favor upon them. He gives it to whoever he wants. And you, O poor people, Allah gave you the ability to make a dhikr, which will be counted as a charity for you, but he hasn't given you wealth. No, and this is Allah Azza wa Jal decreeing his matters. So, you know, we believe, la mani'a lima a'tayt. Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't withhold what he gives. No one is able to withhold what Allah gives people. And no one is able to give what Allah withholds from people. Wa subhanallah, this is how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ended this discussion with the companions. But we learn a great lesson from this hadith. And that is the beautiful competitive nature among the companions, not for worldly gain and worldly matters. Rather, that energy of competition was exhausted in good deeds and righteous acts. Brothers and sisters in Islam, don't forget dhikrullahi azza wa jal. Every time you say subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, there is a good deed for you and it is considered a charity for you. Allahu Akbar. Don't complain about, I don't have enough wealth to give charity. Even if a person has wealth and is stingy, is unable to find within himself to continuously give fi sabilillah, then increase your adhkar, increase your dhikr, increase your good, because these are considered acts of charity as well. And they are a healthy competition among the community. My brothers and sisters in Islam, I encourage you to compete with one another towards the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. and towards the paradise. And invite your children to this matter as well. Bring your children and make a healthy competition among them. Who can memorize this surah first? Who can memorize this number of ayat by the end of the month? Who can pray whatever number of salawat in the masajid they're able to, and compete with one another in righteousness and in good deeds? Brothers and sisters in Islam, we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to grant us acceptance, to grant us forgiveness. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our best days the last days we live on earth. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ جَزَاكُمْ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.